time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
It is a Friday afternoon, and yes, it is the first official Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network, and I am ready to get it on. It's Donnie Seymour. I'm going to go with the official name because that's how excited I am. And Kevin Walsh here in the afternoon, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Moneyline. That's how serious I am today, K-Dub.
How about it? You're locked in. That means you're feeling good, feeling ready to roll there, which I've got to respect. And why wouldn't you be, right? I mean, it is an absolutely major day. It is, as you have been saying, a true Football Friday. It's an NFL Friday. Plus, there's some college football on if you're still looking to bet bait. Like, it's not like you're dry today, right? Like, oh, man, I can't wait to bet Sunday. Like, you got action you can get on today, and the party keeps on rolling.
It's awesome. And by the way, we're going to hit all these topics. This is going to be we don't have enough time. Kevin and I say it all the time. Look, there's not enough time for 2 hours here. But Lamar Jackson and the Ravens don't reach their contract extension. We'll get to that in a minute. But I just need to clear some house right now. Take all a deep breath and say, Rob Manfred is the single best commissioner in all of sports history. Historic. If anybody wasn't paying attention, and quite frankly, I wasn't ready for this. I was ready just to jump right in the football. Major League Baseball does the right thing. The pitch clock is now inserted in here. You can't dance around that box. You can't step out of it. You can't adjust your gloves for 35 minutes and walk around and have some fun. You got to be in there now. And also, banning of the defensive shifts. Maybe the single most flashpoint over the past 10 years in Major League Baseball of the ruination of the sport has been taken out. Manfred, over the last 2 years, DH in both leagues, ghost runner in extras, now a pitch clock and a banned defensive shift. This has been, in my lifetime, the most significant changes I've seen in any sport, and every single one of them for the better. I can't believe, Kevin, this is even happening right now, and I love it.
The DH stuff, all right, to be honest with you, like, there's no point in debating that, all right? I've heard, I'll never forget someone once said, oh, imagine if there was someone designated only to play offense in the NBA. And I'm like, oh, so you don't watch football with quarterbacks, right? It was one of those clown takes, like, literally, truly, like, and I lost respect for both of those people immediately, and that will remain forever. So that's that handled, right? The Ghost Runner, I understand why people don't like it, but the NHL has something comparable. Think of it like college football over time. It makes a lot of sense, I think, ultimately, to have that implemented. Pitch clock. Look, the NBA is a shot clock. The NFL is a game clock. Those things are normal, right? But I think you're going to probably hear a lot of debate today on this shift because there's a lot of people who believe, hey, why don't you just drop a bunt down? Don't you think that would change everything, right? People get mad about old school and, you know, what Tony Gwynn would have done, what Pete Rose would have done if they tried to shift against those guys. Now, I'm not telling you that Tony Gwynn and Pete Rose weren't capable of beating a shift, but I'll tell you this right now. Barry Bonds didn't necessarily ever have to deal with a shift, right? And there's a lot of others that fit that description, and we know that the shift is something that came around more recently, right? Like, Rob Manfred is, I don't want to say the only one that's had to deal with the shift when we talk about baseball. I don't remember if it was around for Bud Selig really or not, but it was a new age thing that was really not helping the sport, I think, go in the direction that they wanted. I understand if people think the shift should have stayed in because guys should have been able to hit the other way, but all in all, this is for the best of the sport.
It's for the one, and again, I'm retweeting this out because I shouldn't be getting heated up about Major League Baseball in September. So you know what my favorite part is here? MLBPA, which is the Players Association. The players all voted no on pitching changes, and they put out like a thing. Like, because it's not about the betterment of the game. They don't care. They don't never cared about the fans anyway, the players. You want to talk about fan engagement here? Every other sport does it well. Major League Baseball is horrendous, where their stars, I don't want to say they don't care about the fans, but they don't care about like promoting the game itself. So it's a wonder why they were like, well, you can't put this in because we wanted something back. Something back for what? How about young kids actually caring about your sport? Doesn't that matter to you, or you just want your paycheck now and don't care where the game is 15 years down the line, where the average Major League Baseball fan is like 55 years old? You're trying to draw a game in to have more action, quicker pace, and a lot more fun. But of course, the Major League Baseball Players Union doesn't like that. It's pretty insane when you think about it.
And just to make another cross-sport analogy, which has been one of my favorite things to do when we talk baseball, you know, the defensive three-second rule, if memory serves, unless it's not old folktale, wasn't that an anti-Shaq rule, essentially? When they were like, yeah, we can't just let this guy stand in the middle of the paint anymore. This has gotten completely out of control here. And, you know, and you would think, right, that I'm sure a lot of people would have said, now, no, you have to figure something out. You can't just not allow. Essentially, there's illegal defense in the NBA, right?
Correct.
There's a formation that you just cannot use. This is not all too dissimilar. And we all grew up, man, you cannot just stand in the paint, right? That's 3 seconds. You cannot, you know, obviously at the lower levels, you actually are allowed to do it. But you get my point there. So it's one of those things. Now a guy like a Joey Gallo, right, doesn't, mm-hmm. They become more valuable. They become a better player. How many, like, the shift robs these guys of hits. That's just the truth of the matter there. I think this is obviously, it feels like a positive day for baseball.
It's a great day for baseball. Now I don't have to worry about a base hit up the middle because there's 16 players standing behind the pitcher. Now I actually can get back to, oh yeah, the shortstop isn't supposed to be in that spot here. I love it. Great day for baseball. Great day to be with us here on the Sports Grid Network. We're going to come back on Moneyline and we're going to bring the heat. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on a Football Friday. It's Moneyline right on the Sports Grid TV radio conglomerate. Well, I know we're not on TV, Ken, but I feel like I got to promote everything because of how excited I am for football.
Nice,
like, big things going all the way around. 844-843-6879 if you want to get involved. We just talked about Major League Baseball. It fires me up. It's a wonderful day for baseball. And I love the fact that I'm not that millennial generation. Says, oh, get off your phones and stuff like that. I don't care. I don't even care that the fans are 55 years or older. But when I can see it right down the middle and say to myself, this is only good where I don't know if I like to. Why don't you like the shift? Like, please tell me why anybody come. You know what I mean? It's like basketball in the mid-90s where Kevin was like 80 to 79 where the Knicks played the Heat. And you go, oh, man, that was real basketball. No, that was horrendous basketball.
It isn't, right? Sports change, right? Like, the NFL's had major rule changes. The fact that the NBA implemented a three-point line, right? Like, sport. Like, imagine if home runs were worth two, right? Imagine if home run, like, that, so sports change. So don't think that baseball's unique. But I would bet if you asked anybody, hey, why do you like the shift? Their answer would not be that they like the shift, but rather they just think these guys should be able to hit around it, which I'm not saying is ridiculous.
Correct. I hear you going.
We're well past that point. They're not going to. They're just not. So there's a different way for baseball to address this. I mean, right? Like, that's just kind of the truth of the matter. I saw something. I think the Dodgers shift on like 51% of at-bats. It's like, how is that possible?
It used to be like it was a couple teams did it. You know, everybody every once in a while, in case it was a true pull, like Joey Gallo, everybody just loaded up. But it's gotten to the point where, like, I don't want to say you want to take analytics out of the game because you do need them. But I just got tired of every single pitch. Like, if you ever have been to a baseball game in the past 3 or 4 years, like, let's just say I'm sitting in the right field seats watching a Phillies game. every batter. It's a ridiculous formation out here where they're taking, Kevin, they're taking their hats off and looking at a player card, and the third baseman swings around and plays second base. Stop the madness here. Like, it's ludicrous. And I understand, well, if they just hit the ball, they don't get paid. You don't understand. They don't get paid like that. How would have you told Bryce Harper this? Hey, Bryce, they shift on you all the time. Why don't you lay down a bunt over here? And then he goes, well, in 3 years, when my contract comes up, I make half the money. Well, that doesn't make sense. So you're losing base hits. No, no, no. I get paid to hit the ball into the seats. So if I'm pulling every baseball, I'm going to get robbed of a lot of base hits. But as long as that ball hits the seats, I get my $30 million a year. Like, if you paid players and said, you know what? I don't care about RBIs. I don't care about home runs. I'm going to pay you strictly on batting average. Like, if you hit 300, I'll give you a $300 million contract. You hit 125 or 150 like Joey Gallo, you're out of the league, which is why he still has a job. So a great day for me for Major League Baseball, and a great, basically a great two-year run at some of these rule changes. Now, let's flip over the scene to the NFL. This was an early deadline, Kevin. This was a real early deadline here. Breaking news, Adam Schefter, talks have broken off here with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. So let's get into this a little bit here of what this means. Obviously, he's going to get paid sooner than later, which sooner than later actually means like probably next year, right? A team is going to pay him a massive amount of money. Why was the cutoff here? It looks like 1 o'clock Eastern at this point. What actually happened? And Kevin, now that we're at the point where we saw Juan Soto, where you might have had five months of negotiations, and they just got exhausted, and then the Nationals go, we offered him $500 million. He didn't take it. So we'll put that out there and see how the fans hear it. Are we going to start hearing what Lamar Jackson was offered now?
Usually some leaks come out, right? We heard what the Yankees offered Aaron Judge.
Yes, correct.
Right? So I think it's pretty likely because – and here's the reality of it. We will hear it because one of the two sides is bothered that this is not done, meaning either Lamar will leak what is a very low offer or the Ravens will leak an offer that a lot of people go, he didn't accept that?
Yeah.
And that's usually how it's going to play out. Now, the interesting thing is, of course, you know, Aaron Judge did do something. Well, he did this, basically. I think that'd be ridiculous for me to say it's similar, right?
Yep.
Here's the deadline. I don't know, like, if Aaron Judge, like, tomorrow was like, hey, listen, if you want me here, give me your appropriate offer. I'll sign it right now, you know? I think the Yankees would probably give him that offer, right? But Aaron Judge is like, I'm hitting free agency. So this is what I told you, and I'm sticking by this unless I get a new piece of information. If he is not signed, by the time this season begins, Lamar no longer being a Raven within a year's time is more alive than it has ever been.
It really is. Because now, what are you putting the onus on? He's going to get his money. Are the Ravens going, boy, I hope he plays really well so he costs me another $50 million guaranteed? Like, and they can't be saying, like, well, I hope he has an average year because then your football team wasn't very good and we can pay him less. It's such a ridiculous market. And also, it's one of the few things where we're not dealing with a quarterback, Kevin, that was going to make 1 year $1.2 million. Like, let's just say $200 million in guarantees are on the table. I still find it awkward that he doesn't have an agent in such a tedious, like, negotiation where maybe it's like, because Aaron Judge, like, cuts off his contract talks. He's not negotiating that. Like, his agent was doing that, and he could just say, hey, Aaron, you're not going to hear anything, Aaron. Let me handle this with the Yankees. It might take months, weeks, or even the year. We might not get a deal done, but I'm not going to communicate with you anymore. I told the Yankees not to. We'll handle this behind closed doors. But Lamar Jackson's the end all be all. Oh, contract talks are broken down. Yeah, that's on him. Like, that's him.
So, and maybe that is why he doesn't want this to linger into the season, right? Maybe that's why. But let me make this point, and you can tell me if you disagree. There is no world in which he plays, call it average football, and then the Ravens are able to pay him less than they expected. will simply be on a different football team. There is no Ravens discount coming because a different team, it's the Kirk Cousins thing. Washington was like, hold on, we have to pay you what? When did you get to that level? And the Vikings were like, hold on a minute. We get to go from Case Keenum to Kirk Cousins? We're going to win the Super Bowl next year. Now, it didn't work out. But Kirk Cousins, by the way, now the deals have been shorter, has been getting fully guaranteed contracts for like the last 7 years. So trust me, Lamar Jackson is aware of this. I know he doesn't have an agent, but I don't think Lamar is unaware of the shape of the NFL and how everything ultimately comes into focus.
Yes, and as I said before, as a betting tool for Sunday, I loved it both ways. Now it's on one of those things where you go scorched earth. And you can't say it's always going to happen, but let's just look at the last time. Aaron Judge, you're not paying me enough. I'm not signing that contract. We'll talk at the end of the year. Watch me do my thing and drop 62 bombs into the seats. Now you want to pay me? It just sounds like, Lamar Jackson isn't the type of guy that would say, now I didn't get it. I told you if I didn't get a deal, I'm not playing this year. He's going to play. He's going to be excited to play and say to himself, no matter what happens this year, I'm going to get paid in the future. And if anybody out there is saying to themselves right now, like, ooh, how could you play on $23 million? Understand how the NFL works as well. You don't think Lamar Jackson right now has an insurance policy where he's planning to be paying like $1 million for in case I can't play again, I'm going to get $100 million? Of course, he's done that already. Don't worry about Lamar Jackson. His money is going to be right each and every way. I'm just actually shocked because when you enter it, look at what Arizona did, Kevin, with Kyler Murray. They basically said, well, look, we're not so sure you're exactly what we want, but boy, oh boy, it could be a lot worse, and we can't have you going into game one this year saying, prove it, because it looks like you're motivated by getting a paycheck as opposed to, oh, yeah, prove it. Yeah, I don't feel like playing that much this year. I'm unmotivated. Do you know what I mean?
100%. And let's make this last point before we hit the break, because I know there's so many different things with the NFL we want to get to, right?
Yep.
You mentioned Kyler Murray. That's where Hollywood Brown now plays. They got him DeAndre Hopkins. You mentioned that if Juan Soto would have signed that deal in Washington, they would have then turned to Juan and be like, why do you expect us to get any players? You have all of our money. There's nothing we can do for you anymore. Does Lamar Jackson look around and go, oh, I can already tell the script. I sign and stay here, and I'm going to be by myself forever. It's going to be just me and big old Mark Andrews. They're not getting me any wide receivers anytime soon.
Nope. Nope. Look at this. NFL topics flowing. We're going to hit game by game on Sunday. I got my pen and paper out. I want to see where I'm going exactly. And if anybody has any comments about where they're going on prop bets or games, call in 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline. It's a Football Friday on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it on a Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. We're here to bring the pain and come up with some winning bets. But before we do that, the phone lines are hot. 844-843-6879. The Moose is loose here on a Friday, a Football Friday here on the network. Moose, what's up, man?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you? I'm doing great. I am doing excellent, but let me just throw this out there, and I don't want to throw any damper on anything, but thoughts and prayers out to the families for this Sunday. So I just wanted to say that. So
true.
But
it is a meaningful day. You are correct. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Patriots Day. But man, did Stafford get a beat down? Holy smokes! I never expected that. You know, and I love you guys. You know, I think the world, you guys are really analytical thinkers, and I'm not certainly at even a tenth of that level. But, you know, sometimes you kind of get those hunches, and I do a lot of reading. I get three newspapers delivered to my house every day, and I read the sports columns, and a lot of people were bringing up problems with Stafford's arm. And that's why I went out yesterday and said that he was going to go under. But six turnovers in that game?
A lot of them sloppy.
I think seven. I think seven, actually.
And, you know, I'll be curious to see how Stafford bounces back. But, hey, some breaking news out of Cleveland, and I find this very interesting. So apparently, Garrett received a couple texts from Baker, and Garrett did not know how to take them, so he did not respond back. Well, what came out of this was Baker criticized publicly to the media about how Garrett hurt the team by swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph.
I remember.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, and then Sheldon Richardson pulled Baker aside and said, hey, don't be making those public comments, you know, out there. Keep it in the locker room. Let's take care of our own people. So that, I think, is what kind of started the rift. And now you have Chubb and Garrett. Garrett comes out and makes a statement that, quote, unquote, that he's going to destroy Baker. Man, I can't wait for Sunday. I cannot wait. I'm taking a half day sick. I've got the football flu starting at 12 o'clock at work. I'm going home. So,
absolutely, man. I think we feel that all way. It's like a holiday weekend about to come up here of watching some NFL action and, you know, just getting your squad back on the field, K-Dub, watching that this Sunday. I'm pretty excited for that as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'm glad Moose gave himself credit for the Stafford under.
Nice.
He mentioned it yesterday. It was, look, the game script was there for him to go and throw for about 350 yards at a loss, and he just couldn't take advantage of it at all. He played really, really bad football. Is it game one? Is it the Bills' defense? Is it the elbow? These are the questions that we're going to have to see answered over the next coming weeks there. As far as, you know, Baker versus Myles Garrett, I'll be honest with you today, as we went to that breakdown on the early line, it's one of those games I have basically felt the same way as the odds makers. And that as that line is flip-flopped, so have I. I feel like I've been all over the map with that one because every time I think I'm going to trust Baker to go out there and win that game, I think about the fact that the Browns defense has a chance to really, really put it on him. And then I think, oh my goodness, I'm Jacoby Brissett on the road. What are we doing there? And I keep battling really what the right side is in that football game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close one. I do. Like, I don't think anybody's going to run away with that per se. But I just see like what Cleveland's MO is going to be. Let's just not make a mistake, which allows Carolina to be in that football game. And again, we're not talking about a 7-point line either. It's a 1.5-point line, and it's swung back and forth. We'll see where it winds up on Sunday. But it is one to watch where you feel like that defense, that front seven for the Cleveland Browns, should be able to get after Baker Mayfield and that offensive line for the Carolina Panthers. Now, let's start having some fun here. We're going to go game by game here. Now, granted, we can't spend 15 minutes analyzing every single, you know, play and analyzation. But I thought it was fun because, and I wanted to do this, and I do this a lot, specifically early in the season, Kevin. But like, as I say, week three, week four, we don't have to go over every, you know where you're going and sort of where you're pointing. But I wanted to handicap, like, with the crowd, right? Saying, okay, let's look at this game with an approach. There's no analytical, like, hey, Donnie, I got this on Tuesday. It's a better line. No, forget about that. Forget about that. Let's just see where it is today and how we can have some fun. Pittsburgh Steelers, Cincinnati Bengals, -6.5 is a favorite here for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Over on this game, 44.5. Now, it's easy to say, Kevin, we've broken this game down for months and months and months already. Which way do you want to go? You know me. Hey, Joe Burrow going to be sharp in this game. Let's go ahead with that. But if we're looking from a prop standpoint here, anytime touchdown score market, right? Joe Mixon, -125. Jamar Chase, +120. Najee Harris, +120. And on and on and on we go. There's literally like 30 bets you can place on either a defense or a player to score a touchdown in this one. Has anyone like popped in your head as, boy, I really have to get down on this one or this makes sense? Because I look at the prices, right? You would figure Joe Mixon's going to get the ball in the goal line. I get that here. Jamar Chase, a +120. He is going to be every bit involved in this game. But like the T. Higgins, +155. But again, we're not talking about +400 to +500. If you want a legitimate player you think is going to score, you're not getting great prices here. Did anybody like come into this game for like a Tyler Boyd +230? Who like piques your interest of scoring a touchdown in this game?
So the touchdown market is tough because I think my eyes lean towards the under in the football game. Now, we always say there's still going to be, what, at least probably five touchdowns scored in the game. So there will be opportunity out there. Mixon is rightfully the favorite
in
the market. But Najee is at a plus price. How bad this Steelers offense is going to be is something we're going to find out. But I would think on the goal line, that is where they're going to have to be trusting Najee over Trubisky. I think Harris, because listen, if Cincinnati is on the five, right, DRS, you're not positive that's a run play to Mixon. You'd like it to be. It might be favored to be. But they chase fade routes, Higgins, whatever it might be. Najee Harris, anything inside the five should probably be going his direction for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, I'm always, you know, a little bit excited by this because the quarterback props to run it in now have really got my attention because you're not outside of like Lamar Jackson. You're getting some pretty good prices. Mitchell Trubisky is an athletic quarterback. He's 5-1 on an anytime touchdown in this ballgame. Mm-hmm. 5-1 price. Where is
I'm interested in
Joe Burrow, 550
rush yards.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to get to that. Yep.
Yeah, I'm interested in that number for sure.
Let's hit passing props quickly on this game if anything peaks you there. Mitchell Trubisky, we know not the greatest passer in the world. We'll see where he winds up. 227.5. Joe Burrow, 260.5 K-Dub.
What are they doing with the Burrow passing touchdowns is tempting just because it is 1.5, but it's juicy. It's against this very, very,
it is juicy.
Very talented defense there. Do you take a shot on Joe Burrow longest completion because there's so many guys it feels like in the pass game that can be explosive here?
37.5 for Joe Burrow, player longest pass. Mitchell Trubisky 33.5. Like Chase is just a home run, right? Like he's getting 4 or 5 deep shots downfield. What you hope is that they just don't tackle him for a pass interference.
And Higgins has a similar ability, right? Which is why you like being able to come in on a Joe Burrow there. I don't think any of the pure passing props. Although, do they have the interception market up yet?
They do. Yes, they do. And I'll read that to you now. To throw an interception, which last night if you bet both quarterbacks, you had a field day. This one, Joe Burrow to throw an interception, yes, +102. Mitchell Trubisky -140 as a yes.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Is he guaranteed to throw a pick every game? I don't know.
I mean, maybe, but the interception market, as you saw last night, Josh Allen was humming. He wound up with two of them. One completely wasn't his fault, which is why I bring that up, right? It's sometimes you just gets tipped and, you know, falls in there. Outside of, like, the one guy I would always just say, like, no, I'm not doing that. Maybe two guys, like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Like, because you know they're always making the shrewd move out here. But everybody else, I mean, that's really just a 50-50 proposition for me. So if I see yes at a +102, I probably would say yes on Joe Burrow. It's pretty good defense. Yeah, anything can happen out there.
Oh, definitely. And, again, it's week one of the season, right? So perhaps communication is not going to be at an all-time high for these guys. But Trubisky's interesting because he's the kind of quarterback that you can see being like -180 to throw picks
for
the remainder of the season here if you're able to get this one easily. That's an interesting market that I will be looking at probably in every single game because, like you said, how many quarterbacks do you just eliminate the idea? Well, I know we're not there yet. I'm just writing this down as a mental note. I'm very interested to see what the Mahomes interception number is, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we will. Player receiving yards, only at the FanDuel Sportsbook here. They have the side for the Bengals. Boyd, Higgins, and Chase are listed here. Tyler Boyd, 40.5 yards. T. Higgins, 70.5. And Jamar Chase, 71.5 yards. Again, you're going up against a pretty good Pittsburgh defense, but you have, if Joe Burrow is right, that offense is elite. You can't just say, oh, we're going to shut down Tyler Boyd and that'll be good. No, because you got T. Higgins and Chase. Oh, we'll take away Chase. No, you have Higgins and Boyd still left over. Any of those numbers like pop in because you know me. I'm a secondary market guy. Like Boyd, 5 catches for 45 yards. He can't do that. Come on.
What did they post Higgins at, you said?
Higgins is 70.5, 1 yard, only 1 yard behind Jamar Chase at 71.5.
Pretty incredible, right? Pretty incredible just to see. But he did earn that respect over last year's postseason run. Man, that's a lot of yards against Pittsburgh.
It is. By the way, we're going to hit some player rushing totals in this. We're going to steam through every single NFL game this Sunday to get you ready and have some fun. It's a Football Friday here on the grid. Keep it right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Phone lines are hot out there in these streets. Why? Because you guessed it. It's an NFL Friday here, week one, and we're having some fun. If you want to get involved, it's easy to do with myself and Kevin, 844-843-6879. Let's start with Casey in Colorado here. We want to talk some bets about this weekend. Casey, welcome to the show on a Football Friday. What do you got for us?
What's up, guys? Well, all right, so last last night I was thinking, you know, I got to start attacking the defensive props where a cornerback is shadowing a number one receiver. Well, last night, Stephon Diggs' reception prop was at 7.5, so I went over to Jalen Ramsey's tackle prop, and it was at 3.5. So I bet that, and it cashed before halftime.
Wow.
And they kept going to Stephon Diggs. And then there's a couple this weekend that I'm looking for, waiting for the numbers to come out. Stephon Gilmore is going to be shadowing Brandon Cooks. And then there's a dude on the Lions. I can't pronounce his last name. It starts with an O. It's a crazy last name. He's going to be shadowing A.J. Brown. And I'm going to, as long as the number's less than the receptions prop, I think I'm going to go on the tackling props for the corners.
Now, so your angle is what you're saying is you're taking these top-level cornerbacks going up against ones and taking their tackling prop to the over? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, but mostly on the cornerbacks that we know that actually have, like, shadowing tendencies. Like Jair Alexander for the Packers is going to probably shadow Justin Jefferson all game. So, he's going to shadow Diggs most of the game. So, that's what I was looking at. But other than that, I'll let you guys talk about it.
Clever approach. Yeah, it's a clever approach, Casey. We appreciate the call. By the way,
yeah,
the
give
Lions,
us an update, too. Yeah, give us an update how you finish on over the weekend here, because we're going to be firing all football season long. What do you got there, K-Dub?
The Lions cornerback that he's referencing,
Amari.
We gave it our best.
Oruwariye or something like that. I haven't never heard his name live, so I'm just going to go with that. But it's funny because the first thing that popped in my head was a Okuda. I was like, that seems interesting. I was like, oh, no. There's another O on that other side of the field there.
What I think is going to be interesting to see, though, we talk about this a lot with different markets. Are we going to get defensive props for every Sunday game? Is it going to be a prime time thing? That's important, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Because it's a really interesting angle that Casey brings up here. And it's definitely something because it makes a lot of sense. If you've got a corner that's going to shadow a guy that's supposed to get the football 10 times, they're probably going to be responsible for, then 5 tackles.
And he's going to make catches, so therefore you better be tackling him. So who cares if it's 30 yards down the field? As long as you make this, like, hey, Kevin, it's over 10 yards. You don't get credit for that tackle. No, you continuously get credit for those tackles. Let's keep the phone lines heated up here, 844-843-6879. Carl in New Jersey, a football Friday. Welcome to the show, Carl. What do you got for us today, brother?
Yo, what's up? I was not going to start my Friday without talking to my homies today, guys. Hope everything is good.
You know it. Yep, you know it.
By the way, I believe Jeff Okuda covering A.J. Brown this weekend. That's what I understand. And he is going to light him up. That guy's actually got a good angle on that. Except maybe A.J. Brown's running away from him. He never actually gets to tackle him. One of the two things is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's all I'm saying, Kate. Well, that two O's out there. I was figuring, like, the tough one where I don't know how to pronounce it is the other guy. So we'll see if Okuda, one of those high draft picks that you figure was a plug-and-play guy, not so fast yet, Carl. So, yeah, I agree.
Well, the Lions secondary is
Swiss cheese. I think that he was a tough one to pronounce.
What do we do here? We pick six games for the week? I got 6 plays for tomorrow, for Sunday. Is that what the drill is?
Absolutely. That is what we're doing.
So I gave you two. I gave you guys 2 yesterday. I'm still on the Ravens Jets under. That's at 44. That's moved down. It was 45.
Like it.
Also a big fan of that 49ers Bears under. I think the weather's supposed to be really poor there. You got 2 running quarterbacks. I smell slop fest. That game stinks of 17-10, 20-10, somewhere in that ballpark. Next game I got is the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Eagles laying 4.5. I smell bloodbath in that game. I think the Eagles are going to show up. They're going to put a statement on that game. And they win that game by double digits. I like the Packers, -1. Sneaky game there. I think the Packers get that game done. I like New England, +3.5. I think that's too many points there. They'll keep that game close. And my upset special, the Jacksonville Jaguars, +120.
Okay, dog.
That's all for Carl from Jersey.
Now, K-Dub, what do you think about that last pick right there, huh?
Look, here's the thing, though. But you know that I also respect the Commanders, thanks to Carson Wentz's appearance there. So, Look, those are a couple of playoff teams in action in the nation's capital there between the Commanders and the Jags. It's a fun game to break down. It's a good mix you've got there, Carl.
I love it.
The Pats and the Packers feel like a pair of teams that not many people maybe are on this week there. For week one, I'm sure you don't mind kind of getting in the mud, getting ugly. So not bad. Fun stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff to watch it play out. And good stuff there from Carl. Six-pack here, being able to figure it out, have some fun on Sundays. But, K-Dub, where should the people be before the games actually kick off? I mean, let them know. Let them know in the streets.
Pro Football Today, it's me and Mike Blewett. We start at 10 a.m. We go all the way up until 1 o'clock kickoff, East Coast time. We'll be with you for 3 hours, every single game, all the prop looks that you need, plus really important guests to help set it up. Warren Sharp does a great job breaking everything down, that analytical perspective. Pro Football Doc, Dr. David Chow, letting us know who's safe and who is not on this slate. And then Adam Kaplan, the insider, giving us that extra piece of information that we need to help us make these bets pregame. So Pro Football Today, 10 a.m. Eastern start time on Sports Grid Radio, right here, this very same channel. You'll be set to go, and it should be a fantastic time.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We're going to action-packed weekend overall. Quickly finishing up on the Steelers-Bengals game, the rushing props, Kevin. There's four of them listed. Should I say four players, right? We have two quarterbacks and two running backs. Obviously, the easy ones. Najee Harris, 58.5. Joe Mixon, 72.5. Joe Burrow, 5.5. And Mitchell Trubisky, 18.5. The one that pops off right away for me, actually, is Mitchell Trubisky in the 18.5. Because I think he's going to make plays off schedule, and that's what he does. If the play isn't there, he can run. And seeing him get 20 yards in this game, I don't think that's going to be that hard to do. The other ones, like Najee Harris should get 58.5 yards. I'm a little bit worried about the front line for the Steelers. Joe Mixon, 72.5. Can he get there? Yes, but he's going up against a pretty good defense here. Burrow, 5.5. That's one run, right? That's one breakdown where he gets 6 yards. The only worry, then, he rushes for 8 yards, Kevin. They win the game. He takes three straight knees. They're the tough ones.
Yeah, the thing, right, for Burrow, while he's not non-athletic, running is not the name of his game, that's where maybe the appendectomy checks in, and could that stop him from wanting to be mobile outside of the pocket? But as I said, the Trubisky number is one that I've been waiting to see. 18.5, it's a low enough benchmark to be interested in. See how that's going to change the script here in Pittsburgh. Everyone talks about how bad Big Ben was, which is accurate. And that perhaps Trubisky can match that level of quarterback play. I certainly understand the notion that people are putting there. The thing that Trubisky is going to be able to bring to the table, if the Steelers are able to take advantage of it, though, is some athleticism at the quarterback position. Maybe even a couple designed runs here and there. You know, if they run a little read option, who's not going to crash down on Najee Harris if the other guy holding the ball is ultimately Trubisky? So I think he could have some opportunities there. That offensive line is still bad, so he might need to run around.
Philadelphia Eagles, Detroit Lions, that line has moved, and it's up to 4.5, and I completely agree with it. This week, Kevin, as you know, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and they still have it up here, it's a sweat-free bet for the weekend. Maximum $50, which means put $50 on a game, you win it, you keep your money. You put $50 on a game, it loses, they give you the $50 back in free plays. The game I did pick was this one, Philadelphia Eagles at -3.5, which, as I said, has now moved to -4.5. A total in this game, Kevin, 48.5. So people think, you know, points are going to be scored here, which leads us right into that anytime touchdown score market. Jalen Hurts is actually the leader in the clubhouse, Kevin, at a +115 price, followed by A.J. Brown +135, DeAndre Swift at 130, Miles Sanders at a +140, might as well be +440, Devonta Smith, Dallas Goedert, and on we go. Does anything stick out? Are you feeling like, wow, Jalen Hurts is a +115, almost anticipating he is supposed to score a rushing touchdown?
Which is not right, in my opinion. I want Jalen Hurts to score. I think there's a chance that they're throwing the football maybe even a little bit more than we respect. Is it going to be Goddard? Is it going to be A.J. Brown on the goal line? Again, that's the information that we need to find out. But you mentioned the guy that we have to talk about. When you expect, roughly, DRS, you expect this Eagles offense to be able to get you probably, what, 4 touchdowns?
Correct.
Right? 28 points, right? Like, okay.
Yes.
You would think that a team starting running back then at +140 would jump off of the page as a potential play for an anytime touchdown score. For those that do not know, Miles Sanders last year scored zero touchdowns. Yeah.
Come on.
Zero. Not a single touchdown. I'm not saying that Nick Sirianni is entering this game with priority number one, having Miles Sanders find the end zone. But that can't be. I mean, there is still talent in that man's bones, right? Like, that just cannot be.
Like, hear me out on this touchdown prop score, because if you're looking from an Eagles perspective, and again, this has nothing to do with X's and O's. If you keep on telling us Miles Sanders is your guy, the first time you get a chance to punch one in from the one, he better be getting the football to get that, okay, I got my touchdown, I feel good, let's have a good season. But having said that, if I'm looking from an Eagles perspective, I understand A.J. Brown, you're going to probably throw him a couple fades in the end zone, and maybe a slip screen at the five-yard line because he's so good at running with the football after the catch and strong. But how about this? We've seen this so many times in the past. How about if you took a combination at running back, Boston Scott and Kenneth Gainwell, plus 380 on Gainwell, plus 550 on Boston Scott, anytime touchdowns. We've seen these guys score. The Eagles are a running football team, and unless Miles Sanders scores two, one of those guys is getting in, and I figure that if you're going to play it off and say, okay, plus 380 on one side, I lose the 550, that's fine. I hit the 550, I lose the plus 380, that's plus money. I wrote those two players down for a touchdown prop in this game as a chance for an angle on Sunday.
If you do not mind swinging. But here's the thing. Like, there's been mixed reports about actually who the Eagles' starting running back is.
Correct.
You might be, at the end of the Eagles' first drive, cashing a ticket because we just found out that Kenneth Gainwell is the starting running back for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Exactly.
So, I totally understand your angle, and I like the double approach there. It certainly lines up.
Big, big prices here. Passing yards in this game. Jalen Hurts, 225.5. Jared Goff, 229.5. Now, if I think the Eagles have a good football game, Jalen Hurts probably going to have a good football game as well. But Jared Goff at that 229.5 angle, thinking they're going to be losing in the fourth quarter, I think he can get to that 229 number. I really do.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm on the Jalen Hurts number here. We talked about it, part of my pick six from a yardage props. I think that if you look at what last year they did with Jalen Hurts early season, it was throw the ball 35 times a game, and that's because Nick Sirianni wants to be able to throw the ball. It's why they went out and got an A.J. Brown. It's what this team wants to do. Well, now they have the talent to do it, I think, with not only bringing in A.J. Brown, but hopefully year two Devonta Smith making that step up against what we're all talking about being a pretty bad and vulnerable Lions secondary.
How much fun is this, man? A Football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network on Moneyline. It's the way to end the week and get that party started. If you want to call in, you can. Top of the hour coming up quickly, 844-843-6879. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment before we hit the top of the hour here on Moneyline on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. If you want to get involved in hour number two, you got some plays out there, some hot takes. You know how to get to us, 844-843-6879. Quickly here in this Eagles-Detroit Lions game, player receiving yards. This is an interesting one. Dallas Goedert, 46.5. Devonta Smith, 46.5, which is pretty impressive that both those guys are the same. A.J. Brown, 66.5. Switch it over to the Lions. T.J. Hawkinson, 47.5. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 58.5. DeAndre Swift, 32.5. And Quez Watkins, 22.5. Now, I got to tell you, each one of these is really popping off the screen. Outside of a running back like DeAndre Swift, I think they're all live. I really do.
Yeah, it's understandable, right? I mean, you're talking about a lot of talent on the field, and if the game script is the Eagles are going to be up, then all the Lions guys look like they make sense. If you made me lock in on one of the Eagles pass catchers, though, is it just A.J. Brown? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Is it just A.J. Brown?
Yes. Like, it's 66.5, Kevin. We saw a guy last night where you say to yourself, well, if it's under 100, I'm betting him, right? If you take a look at Cooper Kupp, he's the number one receiver on your team. He's already best friends with your quarterback. You know, he knows, the team knows, let's get this guy going and what season he can have. And I'm not saying, Kevin, he goes for $125. But if he doesn't get 10 targets in this game, and look at that, A.J. Brown for 22 yards on that catch. Oh, he only needs 40 left. I think don't overcomplicate. Is that the right word?
What is his longest reception? Because he's someone that really does know how to break things off.
Yeah, I don't know. How would I? I don't know if they have that up.
Is that not
just
there?
Alt receiving yards? I don't see it yet.
Early in the game.
But I'm writing that down. A.J. Brown over 66.5 yards. So we're going to keep it moving. Three bets I like there so far in that Eagles game. We got an entire hour to go. Every game on the card is up for grabs. Let's find some of these prop bets that are fun and profitable. Hour number two coming up right now on Moneyline.